Following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have a special guest co-host. He was here a couple months ago. You did it twice, right?
That's correct.
Two times. It's Alan Rothman. Say hi, Alan.
Hi, it's Alan Rothman. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hassan Godwin is actually in transit, so he's not able to make it today. He was flying in and he couldn't come to the show, and he says to make sure we say some nice things about him. So he's a good guy, and he'll be here next week.
And we hope so.
And also, our other co-host, Charlie Saladino, he says that he is on assignment working for the New York Comic Con, so he'll be also back with us next week. So I have to have a special thank you to Alan for coming at the last minute to help me out with the show today.
My pleasure.
And then, of course, the special assignment that is Herman Sinertia is still, once again, missing in action, so we're not sure when he's going to show up or if he's going to show up, but he's still here in spirit. So, if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, we can see us on the webcam, which we're now in high definition. You can just press the little thing. You can actually see us right now on the webcam waving.
High definition.
And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Now, this week, the phone number is extremely important because, once again, as we have in the past 2 weeks, we're going to be giving away free passes to the New York Comic Con, which is next weekend, the 13th, 14th, 15th. My days are correct, right?
That sounds close.
It's one of those days. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week. So we're going to, once again, as we like to call it, have the world's easiest contest. Which is we're going to be giving away two free passes, three-day passes for the New York Comic Con. As soon as the preacher man Trevor is ready, he'll be manning the phone, so we will take the first caller. Trevor, you're on that? Okay, Trevor is on it. So we'll take the first caller at area code 61-888-8811, and you will win free tickets. So
the first caller from anywhere in the universe.
Out of the universe.
And out of the universe. Don't forget that antimatter universe.
So while we're waiting on that, I'm going to take it away with the news. Let's see.
Don't we do a sound effect like dee 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 dee? Oh, that's
well,
passe.
That's, Charlie is the one that usually does it, and he's not here, so it's going to be a very quiet news this time around. This is a good one. This week, Fox announced that it could no longer afford to produce new episodes of The Simpsons without a huge pay cut of up to 45% for the voice cast. Executives say, "We believe this brilliant series can and should continue, but we cannot produce future seasons under its current financial model. We are hopeful that we can reach an agreement with the voice cast that allows The Simpsons to go on and entertaining audiences with original episodes for many years to come." The principal voice cast members earn around $8 million per season, and the dispute would need to be settled by December 2011 so that the writers would be able to work on either the season or the series finale, depending on the outcome of the contract talks. So it's possible there may be no more new Simpsons after this year.
That would be very sad. $8 million is a big hunk of change.
Well, $8 million per each cast member.
Right.
So there's five...
Five or six, I believe. Yeah.
Five main, and then I'm sure the other ones get the money. But it's been on for 23 years. What's the problem?
That's right. What's the problem with another few years? I hope the show does continue forever because it's a wonderful, wonderful show. The writers are brilliant. The voice actors are brilliant. And Fox, you've got to be brilliant also and work this out. Get it resolved. Let's move on. Let's... keep the show on the air.
You know, why don't you just, like, cut your own profits? Why, you know, keep the show on the air? I mean, there was the great Ray McDuffie, who passed away, as a comic book writer. He's also a cartoon writer. I met him at a convention, and he was telling me that there's some formula for a kids' animated series that after 100 episodes, no matter what, 100 episodes is the number that when you pass 100, it's financially unfeasible to continue making a profit off of it. So I'm not sure how it works, but if you hit that magic number of 100, you're just done. And if you look back at the old cartoon shows in the 80s and 90s, you can see that after they do a certain amount, they always just switch over in new episodes because it's cheaper to make new episodes with a brand new cast than it is continuing on. It's actually a very sad thing. Oh, we actually have the winner already called in. So
first caller.
You're on the air. We got her on the air? We got him on the air? We got a person on the air? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, did I win?
Yes, you won, and your name is?
Lynette.
Hello, Lynette. Congratulations.
Hello.
Congratulations, Lynette.
Thank you.
Is this your first time ever going to a convention?
Yes, it is.
Really? So this would be 3 weeks in a row we've had three women who called in, and one passes, and it's going to be their first convention. This is interesting. Are you going to dress up as anybody?
Yes, I am. I am planning on dressing up as Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon? Are you blonde?
No.
Well, but you'll find a wig, no doubt, or a hair culling, either way.
Yeah, I plan on buying one.
All right, so the preacher man, Trevor, will just take down your telephone number, name, and... Oh, he already got it. Look at that. He's well ahead of the schedule.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Trevor. Thank you very much. So congratulations, and you'll be getting information from the guys at New York Comic Con. Actually, you should get it within a couple days because the convention is next week, and you can go pick up your passes, and congratulations once again.
Okay, thank you.
Should be a lot of fun. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
So there you go. So that's six passes in and out. Thank you. A special thanks to the guys at New York Comic Con, and an extra special thanks to Lance Besterman, who has done the old show we used to do, The Comic Book Novice. Really good guys. They help us out and always willing to help out the little guys with the convention talk.
And you sure enjoy doing this because you like making passes to women. I mean, giving passes to women.
Yes, that's exactly right. All right. So that's moving along. Actually, speaking of the New York Comic Con, just want to mention that next week we're going to have a comic book creator who was dear to my heart because he is involved in the independent crossover, the War of the Independents, which I've been promoting heavily for the past 2 months, which is all the independent creators coming together to make a full 6-issue comic book featuring such characters as Ant, The Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby and Pokey, and my character will be in his book. So he's going to be coming up next week, which will be and he's promoting the book, which is going to be on sale in New York Comic Con. So that's awesome.
Sounds good.
Let's see. Moving along once again. Speaking of television, for those of you who are fans of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and fans of The Big Bang Theory, actor Brent Spiner, who is known as Data on the show to play the robot, will guest star along with former co-star Will Wheaton, who played Crusher, the little boy, on Star Trek Next Generation, on the show Big Bang Theory. So obviously hijinks will ensue. You're not a fan of The Big Bang Theory?
I haven't read enough about it.
What about Star Trek? You a Star Trek fan?
Yes.
So your Next Generation, old school, what's your...
A little of both, actually. I think the earlier ones, season, right, I enjoyed, because when I look back at it now, the rare times you can find it somewhere, and I haven't been able to find them on usual media stream, shall we say. The writing is still wonderful in the early season, but the costumes, the sets, they're a little bit locked into time, shall we say.
I could never watch the original Star Trek series. When I was a kid, I used to flip the channels, and I used to see just how the set design, like, this is terrible. I couldn't suspend my disbelief enough to enjoy the show. And I hear, you know, there's great science fiction writers of the day, and still are now of today, writing episodes, you know, Harlan Ellison as one.
Absolutely.
Of them. And, you know, but I just couldn't get past the look of the show.
Well, it's clearly, if not the writers sustaining the show for the entire run, especially they did for the early years when budgets were a little tight and was still an experiment and would it go, because the writing ultimately is what made the show.
And it's funny. There's this new show on Fox. I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Terra Nova, which is about a show that's set way, way in the future, and the world's coming to an end. And so to repopulate the world and save mankind, they send people back in time. Because that's, you know, then they go into Jurassic Park. But what I found was weird about the show is that they're wearing clothes that you would wear today. And it's supposed to be, you know, millions of years in the future. And I'm like, it took me right out of the whole enjoyment of the series. Like, why is he wearing a backwards hat? Like, why is he wearing a jacket? That doesn't make... I couldn't handle it.
It's like the classic scenes from ancient Roman times in movies where there's a telephone pole in the background. You know, so it's got to suspend your belief a little bit.
It's just one of those things that I just could not enjoy.
So. Yeah.
So speaking of Star Trek, where is it? Oh, here it is. Leonard Nimoy, who used to play Spock on the Star Trek series, has announced that he would no longer appear at any conventions after his last appearance this weekend at a Chicago Creation Con. So basically, he is now in full retirement. He's 80 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Well-earned retirement, I might add.
And he's done, because I remember he said he was no longer doing any acting, and that's the last role he said he was going to do was the Star Trek movie, which he did. And then he was coaxed out of, quote, retirement to do a voice in the Transformers movie, the last one that came out. And now he's done with everything. So he's going to just sit back, enjoy his retirement. So that's kind of sad. I met him way back when. He was an awesome guy, and throughout the years, I've always enjoyed his work. And it's just, you know, I guess it's so weird to see that you're retiring from a convention.
Sure. Well, and it's also, I think, it's a reality for all of us who are fans that here's somebody who is clearly an important part in Star Trek, now that he's gone, it's sort of like when John Lennon of the Beatles music group was murdered, that it was the end of an era, and kind of made us one step closer to St. Peter, I guess, for lack of a better term. So it's, you know, it's our own sense of history is gradually dissolving under our feet, shall we say.
Yeah, it's something. And I guess of the same long line of the future, Warner Brothers announced the first ever, quote, social series, unquote, which will debut on Facebook starting October 18th. It's an action comedy series called Aim High, which will star Jackson Rathbone, who is in Twilight, no idea who she is, Amy Teagarden from Friday Night Lights, no idea who she is, and Greg Germann from Ellie McBeal. I have no idea who he is. So
we concur. I have no idea who they are either. We'll find out on Facebook, no doubt.
If you have Facebook, which I do. Do you have Facebook?
Absolutely.
And want to be a part of this event, all you have to do is opt into the show's Facebook page, and your profile, including photos, texts, and friends, will be, quote, seamlessly integrated into the show. Which means that viewers will be able to see themselves or their friends in selected scenes throughout the series. Anywhere from having their photo appear on a student body election poster to having their name seen as graffiti on a bathroom wall. Executives say this video application not only allows consumers to have an immersive and engaging viewing experience, but also a social one where they can share comments, scenes, and tweets from their favorite moments of the show. So I guess this is the first attempt into a new world of viewing entertainment?
Absolutely. I would think if it's coming in on Facebook at this point, it's probably more experimental than anything else, but I'm sure if it proves to be economically viable, and I'm sure it will with the millions of Facebook members, that this could be another turn in where electronic media is going.
But do you think that as a... it's more of a gimmick than an actual show? Because right now they don't say what the show's about. They just say, oh, it's, you know, a media thing to try out.
Well, if you look back at the history of media, of any media in its roots, original movies were somewhat, if you want to use the word gimmick, and I think it's an appropriate word because it was a curiosity. It was new, and were we going to go to this first movie where there was malaise or Edison and see a really well put together movie with a good storyline? Probably not, but just to the excitement of saying, hey, I went to the movies in the early years. So this, you know, I It's like we used to say about CB radio and shortwave radio and AM and FM, for that matter, when it first, AM radio, when it first developed, it was the same sort of thing. It was a gimmick. It was something new. It was more the technology, and everybody had to, you know, buy a radio set to listen. It ultimately developed into another way of communicating and entertaining. So we'll see. It sounds like it might work.
So basically what happens is you start off with the gimmick, you get into the quality, and then you go back to the gimmicks.
in a very strange sort of way. Yeah, that does make sense.
That's terrible.
Well, the internet originally was I wouldn't say it was a gimmick. It was a university and military working together and developing interconnection of communication sites and so on. If you remember the early stages, and you're old enough to remember it, I know I am, it really was, in certain sort of ways, it was free and open, and you could do whatever you want, and there were a lot of gimmicks, and there was a lot of trash, and a lot of wonderful stuff came out of it, obviously. And Facebook being one. I was just talking to a friend the other day about Facebook originally was only for college students, and I couldn't get into it because I'm way past college. But it seemed like just a silly social kind of localized type of gimmick, but obviously it became reality.
Well, I hope that at least if this gimmick will go well, you know, I for some reason I just see myself against this. Maybe because of my old age and, like, you know, shaking my hand, get the kids off my lawn, but I just don't see that this is a good idea in any way, shape, or form.
You are from the generation, and just so am I, that we are people of the comic and of the book, and if we don't have something organic in our hands that's made of paper that comes from trees, where it's not quite the same thing. It's another tool, but it's not really art. But obviously we can discuss that forever also, because there is a lot of stuff on the internet and in the movies and all the other newer digital movies that is in the media that is very much art and valuable content. So we'll see. We'll give it a little time, like we have all these other technologies, and see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully it won't go the way of the laser disc.
Yeah. Or the 8-track tape. Now I'm really showing my age.
But that was something about the 8-track tape, is that, as many comedians have pointed out throughout the years, the music had to be good all throughout the 8 tracks, because there was no fast forwards, no rewind. You had to listen all the way through. So in a day and age where you can actually just download one song, it doesn't all have to be good. So right there, we lose quality just by moving forward.
True. Yeah. It's every technology, I suppose, that delivers media and information and entertainment and so on has its pluses and minuses. And we could spend an entire next few months talking about all the negative sides of the internet in terms of its invasiveness, in terms of questionable content on the internet, in terms of its use by terrorists and so on. But there's all that wonderful stuff that I think trumps it major league.
Yeah, like us being on the internet.
Absolutely.
And we can actually be heard across the country and across the world. We've actually have had people from Australia listen to the shows. It's actually a very weird thing. When I was promoting it, I was like, I had to think about a different time zone. We're actually on tomorrow in the afternoon instead of now. It's very weird. But on the same lines, I want to do another special announcement that the Geek Girl Con, which is, they were a guest on our show a couple of months back. Their convention is this weekend, the 8th and 9th, and they're going to have, it's in Washington, Seattle. So if you want, Seattle, Washington, not Washington, Seattle. So if you guys are
interested. The state of Washington, city of Seattle.
So if you guys are interested, you go to www.geekgirlcon.com, and they will actually be a guest at the New York Comic Con, which is the following week. So we're actually in the winter portion of the convention season, and that's what we're going to be talking about this week. So we're going to take a break. Trevor, we're ready to go, and we'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From Radio. To host Mark Torres speaking, along with Alan Rothman as my special guest co-host today.
Good evening once again.
Alan had his own bit of news he wanted to mention, so we'll throw the floor to him for a few minutes.
It's not good news. It's unfortunately very sad news, and I'm sure by now our entire listening audience already knows that the man who made technology leap into the 21st century, I'm sure there are lots of different things we could say about him. Steve Jobs unfortunately passed away earlier today at the age of 56, died of pancreatic cancer. A tremendous, tremendous force. If anybody, I'm sure many of us, including myself, have either iPhones or Mac computers, we know how innovative his thinking was and ahead of his time. And it's a terrible, terrible loss. I think we'll all feel it tremendously. And I hope it doesn't negatively affect the economy, since I believe Apple, as of a few months ago, was the wealthiest corporation in America.
But didn't he step down just beforehand?
Yeah, my sense is that he clearly knew. I mean, he's been sick for quite a while. You can see how much he's shriveled and deteriorated in terms of his weight over the last year or two. So I'm sure this was done rather than an announcement that, you know, the CEO passed away. He's the former CEO. And hopefully Apple will retain its forward-thinking ways in terms of new technology, because what could be more appropriate for a program about the art of entertainment in comics and superheroes, that he pushed the internet in so many ways with so much technology and content also through distributor Apple, that his impact on this industry and this art is as great as probably any other field.
And you said it was 55?
56.
56. Yeah. Man, I remember when 56 used to be old.
I remember when I used to be 56.
Wow. So I guess our
thoughts... That was last year, right?
So our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, and yeah, that is really sad news.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to switch gears and go to a happy news.
Happy news is good after that, and thank you for staying on board listening after that sad news.
Yeah, so actually... he did help us out with the technology, and because of which we move on to our subject of the week, which is the New York Convention. Usually we do a survival guide for those of you who've never been or who are planning to go for your first time. As much like our three winners for the past 3 weeks, all are going to be what they like to be called as convergents. So for a survival guide, what would you do to go to a con if your first time ever going? Since, Alan, you've never been to a convention, have you?
That's correct. I'm ashamed to say that I never have, in spite of the fact that I'm on the show tonight.
Well, it's actually a good thing. So what is in your mind that comes to mind when you think of going to a convention?
Definitely remember to bring a camera. I assume lots of photography is allowed. I would bring along... If it's, I assume, again, you can get in to have something to write down or have autographs written down, whether you bring photographs with you or just an autograph book, whatever it is that you use, absolutely, that's typical of any convention. Consider dressing in costume, whether it's a simple single object or a full head-to-toe, which is always an issue for me because of my height, trying to find something that's long enough. And the bottom line is, go there, forget about reality, forget about the economy. If you're not working full-time or not at all, unfortunately, forget about all that bad stuff and just have a great time.
As part of our survival guide, you mentioned costumes. If you're going to wear a costume, make sure it is easily bathroom accessible. Because, you know, if you got to go, you're going to be in three or four layers. That's not helpful. I'll tell you that right now. Not speaking from experience, because I don't wear costumes. I'm just telling you right now, it's a big deal. Crowds, there's going to be tons of people there. So if you're going to wear a costume, try to make it as form-fitting as possible, because you don't want giant pieces of cardboard smacking other people in the aisles. You certainly don't want to be in a costume that will make you smell. So be
by the end of the day, the convention hall could be pretty funky, to yes. use an old term.
There used to be this one guy who used to come to the Big Apple Con every year, and we used to lovingly refer to him as the Smelly Wizard. And that's just who he was. And he was in a wizard outfit, and he used to come by, and he was a smelly wizard.
The question was, did he smell when he wasn't in costume? And we really don't need to know that, I suppose.
Yeah, so was he just the smelly guy dressed up as a wizard, or did he decide, I'm going to be the smelly wizard today?
And he purposely doused himself with, you know, mare sweat or something.
And also, Alan, you mentioned autographs. That's something that you do at conventions. There's different types of celebrities that are going to be there. You're going to have the comic celebrities. You're going to have entertainment guests. A lot of comic celebrities will more than happily sign any comic books you have. The bigger names, obviously, will probably limit their time to sign stuff for. Comic books, from my understanding, has always been free to have your comic book signed. And novels are also signed for free. You know, usually if you buy the book, if they have something available, you buy the book and get it for free. But if you bring your own stuff, it's always free. Celebrities are a little different. A lot of them, probably the biggest names that are going to be there, probably won't even have time to sign any autographs. Kind of people like Mark Hamill, you're going to have to pay like an extra special fee to get his autograph. I remember it was a convention where William Shatner was there, and you know, you paid your, at the time, I think it was like $35 for a ticket to go in, and to even get a chance to even approach him, there was a special VIP pass that you had to pay another $70 to get. Sure. And that included one autograph, and you know, no pictures or anything like that. So that was an eye-opening experience for me. Of course, there is my hated story of my interaction with Lou Ferrigno that I've mentioned this at least four or five times throughout the course of the many shows we've done. At this point in time, this is, I'm going to say late '90s. I was going to a convention where Adam West and Lou Ferrigno were both going to be there. And wow. I was a big fan of Adam West, you know, 60s Batman. And I was also a big fan of The Incredible Hulk. So having them both there was, like, one of the greatest things ever. And it was really one of the first times I was introduced that they charge for autographs. Beforehand, I used to go to a convention, autographs were free, but you had to buy the picture, so which was fair. You know, you bought the picture, get an autograph, everybody's sure. happy. So I went to the convention, and I'm walking around, and I see that Lou Ferrigno's sitting there all by his lonesome. And about an aisle away was Adam West with a gigantic line. And I'm looking at it, I was like, well, let me go to Lou Ferrigno first. So I go to Lou Ferrigno, and you know, he gets up, he introduces himself to Lou Ferrigno, and he says, oh, I got a special deal. I'm charging such and such for autographs. And if you buy two of them, you get a poster for free or something like that. And of course, immediately when he said that, the thought process went, okay, I only have this much money. If I get an autograph from him,
forget about Adam West.
Right. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. So, you know, I was thinking, I was like, all right, thank you very much. And then somebody else came along and he was talking to them with his, you know, spiel. And so I left. And I was telling my friends, I was like, oh, what happened? And I explained to him what was going on. And this was when eBay was just starting to come out.
Right.
And a friend of mine was there, and he goes, oh, I'll have something signed. Something I'll sell it on eBay. Why not? So, but he was afraid to go to him by himself. So he's like, oh, come on. So he drags me back with him. And, you know, goes up again, does his feel and everything. And he said, you know, he said he's going to buy the picture. And he also asked him if he could take a picture with him. And he's like, yeah, if you, you know, you pay, buy something, you know, take a picture with him. So that's fine. For those of you who don't know, Lou Ferrigno is partially deaf in one ear.
Correct.
So I think this had to do with what happened. So my friend hands me the camera to take a picture with Lou Ferrigno and my friend. And he gets up. And he was with an assistant. And Lou Ferrigno was talking to somebody else at the time. And they're like, oh, you're going to take a picture. So he gets up to take a picture. And I step back and I hold up the camera to say, oh, I'm going to take the picture from, you know, quite a distance away. And Lou Ferrigno just says, not him. He didn't buy anything. He can't be in the picture. I'm like, I just wanted to take the picture. You're a bastard. That's it.
And you see, if you originally did take care of it, you probably could have sold a photograph on eBay 5 years later, would have paid for plenty of conventions in the future. But you never know how things are going to work
just
out.
It's one of those things. So, you know, bring lots of money. The convention nowadays have the convenience of actually having ATMs in the floor so you can actually get cash out.
Oh, but they do everything in cash?
Hire tier items. They take credit cards.
I see.
But usually it's a cash and carry type thing. It's kind of like a flea market mentality. There are certain things that, you know, do you buy like a giant sword or giant memorabilia that costs a lot of money, they'll take a card. But 9 times out of 10, cash and carry the best way, and you can always haggle yourself down a better deal, depending on what day you go. The people who are at the convention, their job is to sell as much stuff as they have as much, because they don't want to leave with it. Because they bring it all in, and they don't want to bring it all out. They want to walk away with some cash.
Well, is there any advantage, I know, from going to trade shows and other things where there's merchandise about waiting until toward the end?
Yes.
When they're more motivated to, I mean, it's a game that everybody knows, you know, I want to sell it, it's an hour till closing, and I want to buy it, but I don't want to pay what I would have paid for it earlier in the day.
Correct.
Yeah, that's good. So there's flexibility there. So bring lots of cash and travel safe. Related to that, if you do purchase things, a lot of comic book related items obviously are made of paper still, photographs and so on, have plastic protection in case the weather outside is inclement. For those who don't know the word inclement, that means probably rain.
Yes.
Ziploc bags are great for that kind
of
thing.
That's something I never thought of, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
The large ones? Oh,
yeah.
So buy some Ziploc bags to put your comics in.
Sure.
Oh, that's actually a good idea. Also, if you're going to buy stuff, don't walk around with it, holding it out in a hand like a fool. Put it away in a bag. Put it away immediately because, like I said, it's going to be crowded. You might run into somebody who just accidentally is talking to somebody with a smack hand, and there goes your item that you paid $20 or $30 for. Just gone forever. It's not a good idea.
Not related to that. Not to turn this into a sinister conversation, but if you decide, I assume you can bring a backpack in as long as
backpacks,
inspected.
Yep.
Once you buy something, it's a valuable something you want to take home and keep. I would suggest you swing your backpack around so it's in front of you rather than behind you as you're walking around in a crowded area. You never know. It's a big city, and the convention center is a microcosm of the big city.
Yeah, and you know it is New York, so be safe, be smart. Once again, for those of you who don't know, the weapon policy, what they have is that a lot of people dress up in costumes and they have, you know, fake guns and fake swords and all that stuff. Anything you guys bring has to be attached and not removable. So if you bring a sword, it has to stay in, attached. You can't pull a sword out, running around with a sword. You can't have that. And it's funny because they actually say that, you know, they give you a program guide. And it tells you, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And one thing I always found is funny, they always say, don't bring live ammunition, don't bring a mustard gas. Like, you should know this stuff. Don't bring these things to a convention, especially, you know, any public event. Don't bring this stuff.
Keep it in the category of toy.
Yes.
Fake.
So, and that's another thing. When you go in, make sure you get that program guide. It's usually free with a paid admission. It's a thick book, so big, and it has all the events, and it has where it's going where, you know, what panels are going on at what time and what room. Those things are very important if you plan to see anybody. I remember the first convention I went to at the Javits Center wasn't New York Comic Con. It was an experiment. They had a big group, and I didn't know to get the program guide. So I went there, and I did my little thing. I walked around, and I did whatever. And then when I talked to people after that, they're like, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see this guy? I was like, I had no idea they were even there. So the program guide is a must to have.
Is some of that information online or the website? Or
Once again, yeah, for the wave of the future, the New York Comic Con guys have it set up there, their website set up, which is www.newyorkcomiccon.com. They have it set up in such a way that you can actually plan your event online, saying where you want to go, where you want to be, and it'll actually work it out for you. Have like a schedule planner of where to go, what to do based on that. And it has a map of the floor. Show map of the floor is always good to know.
Great, yeah.
Where everything is. And hopefully, I haven't been there recently, but hopefully on the show floor it tells you who's going to be at what booths. Because on the maps, they always have the booth names and the numbers, but sometimes they don't say who is at the booth. I went to one convention where it was a last-minute rush job to get the program guide made. So they made the program guide. They listed where all the people were going to be, but they forgot to mention on the map where the coordinating marks were. So it's like, oh, Bob's going to be at aisle 5, you know, booth 8. But there was no indication on the map. It just said map. So you got to... But these guys are top-notch guys, so make sure you get the program guide. Be prepared for lines. Oh, there's going to be lines.
Speaking of lines, and again, I haven't checked this out. As I said, I'm a neophyte to all of this. I assume you can buy tickets online. And I know from other shows, having gone to the car show on a number of occasions over the years at the same Javits Center, is if you can buy your tickets in advance online, do so, because it saves one big line, especially if you're going on a busy day like Saturday.
Unfortunately, the deadline has passed for buying it in advance.
Oh, is it?
But yeah, you should always, if you know you're going, get the tickets in
Well,
advance.
Buy them now online for next year. This way you're ahead of schedule.
So, yeah, if you're going to go, hopefully you've already bought your tickets online. You're planning to go. Waiting on that line is not fun. They actually had one of the first conventions, I think it was in February or January, and it was freezing cold out there, and you just got to wait on that line because there's tons of people who want to get in. And once you're in, there's going to be lines to wait for a panel. There's going to be lines to wait for an autograph. There's going to be lines to wait on lines. It's just something you're just going to be prepared for and take it all in stride. You know, you're going there to see this stuff. A lot of people are going to be there, too. You're not the only person who's thinking, I'm going to go meet Jason Momoa, who played Conan, the new Conan movie. I'm going to be the only person there. He's going to be sitting by himself like Lou Ferrigno, and I'm just going to walk up to him and say hi. No, there's at least two other people who have that same idea, and they have two other friends that have the same idea with that. So tons of lines. Be prepared. Let me see. Food. A lot of places, they have the cafeterias inside. And for those of you that don't know, a convention center works much like a movie theater, where they make their money on the food items. The event, they get their money off the ticket sales, which is why if you go to a baseball game or something, the food prices are exorbitant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a budget, go outside. They'll allow you to bring food in.
Oh, you can. That's
you
unusual.
Can bring outside
I didn't
food,
think that
yes.
was possible. One thing, if I remember correctly, and this is true in general, but it's not always enforced depending on the venue. I'm not sure if Javits does it. If you have any bottles of plastic bottles, first of all, nothing glass, but if you have any plastic bottles of any beverage, including water, you can't have it open before you go in. It's got to be sealed. I'm not sure that they do the Javits.
Not the Javits. They let you.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty loose with that sort of thing. Because, like I said, once again, it is a combo convention. So you try to be secure, and at the same time, you try to have fun. Because
if you
turn it into a prison, it's no fun. No one's going to come in. And they're going to go have their event somewhere else. So you got to have that balance.
Yeah, but I know from past events, a friend of mine, without even thinking, he had a Swiss Army knife, which he carries around all the time. And as it turns out, he couldn't bring it in. But an interesting story, he asked security at Javits Center what to do. He said, well, either I'll have to confiscate it, or maybe you can give it to one of the vendors who's outside and with the deal that you can pick it up afterwards. Well, that's exactly what he did. He went over to one of the cart vendors who was selling hot dogs and coffee and donuts, whatever, and the gentleman was very, very nice. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this to everybody. You know, the guy will end up selling...
Just walk up to your random hot dog salesman.
And sure enough, when we came out a few hours later for the automobile show, he was very, very pleasant and gave it back to him, and that was it, you know.
See, there are good people left in New York.
Absolutely.
Let me see. What else can you think of? We hit autographs. So I was saying that some of the autographs they do charge.
Right.
It can be anywhere from a measly $5 to anywhere up to $70 to for a autograph signing stuff. I know for a fact that anybody who works for Star Wars is only allowed to sign Star Wars approved merchandise. So if you happen to have just your regular autograph book, which can be free, you know, a good program guide will actually have a section where you can have people to sign autographs. They are not allowed to sign it because they have to be officially Star Wars related merchandise.
But I assume they can purchase merchandise there, of course. And there you go.
There's always tons of stuff to buy. Well, oh man, it is.
Well, the bottom line is it's a business, and it's in a business to make a profit. So if you're coming down, be prepared to be part of the capitalist scheme, and it works.
Yeah,
and it keeps a lot of people employed. And that's really important.
And for another little tip is that if you're here to see somebody, they have panels where they usually have the guest speaker on, and then either immediately before or immediately after the panel, they go and sign stuff. If you prefer, you know, if you want to hear them and interact with them, you're better off going to the panel, because most panels, they have a question and answer line, and you can just walk up and ask your question. There's no pre-interview. You just stand on the line and ask your question. There's a chance, you know, you wait on the line and you might not even get up to get your autograph because they're only there for a certain amount of time. They're paid to be there for a certain amount of time and they're out of there.
Right.
There was this one convention I went to many years ago. It was a combo convention. And one of the hottest artists at the time was there. And he was only going to be there for 1 hour. And we were all just a giant mob. And they're like, what we're going to do is we're going to give out numbers for everybody to be on this line to go get an autograph. I think I got number like 41 or something. And no, it was 241. I was at number 241 they gave
wow.
me. And I was like, well, what number are they at now? He goes, we haven't even started yet. And he's leaving in an hour. And I'm like, well, then I'm not going to get on there.
Speaking of time and hours, again, you keep emphasizing about the crowds and the overall, you know, size of the Comic-Con. Excuse me. Is there a better day to go or a better time of day to go, one from the other, or is it all pretty much the same because it's only really a long weekend, I guess?
It's a trick. See, that's the problem. Obviously, the busiest days would be Saturday. Saturday would be the busiest, and then Sunday morning. Those would be the busiest times.
Why is that? Because
Saturday's the weekend, everybody's out of work, and you're able to go there.
Right.
So the problem is that a lot of attractions are always geared for Saturday and early Sunday. However, if you just want to go see a regular, you know, artist, you want to get the idea of the show floor, see some dealers, Sunday evening is the best, you know, late Sunday, because that's when you get the best deals. Everybody's already got their stuff and they're leaving. That's a good time. And fortunately for us, we get the press pass, so we actually get to go in for press day, which would be the first day. I think it's Thursday
we get
to go in.
Right.
And anybody who bought a four-day pass can get to go in on Thursday, which is like the special preview night, so not as much people, and you get to interact with people better that way.
Gotcha.
But that's just, like I said, on the floor. If you want to go see the guy, he's going to be there when he's going to be there. You got to go on the time. I remember there was this convention that just had, like, big celebrity, Val Kilmer. He was a big-name celebrity at the time.
Sure.
He was there for only an hour on Saturday. Only in on the convention, on the pamphlets, it said, appearing Saturday only between 12 and 1, or 2 and 3, and that's the only time they're there. So you gotta go at that time. But if you're looking just to have a good time, just to get a feel of everything, the best way, go late Saturday.
Off hours.
Friday. Yeah, Friday is also a good time. I remember, the New York Comic Con, this is, I believe, their 8th one. Maybe it's not even 8. I know they've been for many years. Maybe it's 6. Man, they're gonna kick me in the balls for not remembering the how many years this is. I'll say 6, just for the heck of it. It's huge, and you get like this funnel of people at certain points during the day.
Sure.
Last year we went, and when we got there in the morning, not so bad. But around 12 o'clock, between 12 and 4, it was just wall to wall people. And you couldn't even move. You know, it's just how it was. But you really can't enjoy yourself because you're just worried about getting from point A to point B. And everybody's trying to sell their stuff, and a lot of people are there, you know, to talk to you because they want to sell their stuff.
Sure.
So they're happy to talk to you. But if you can't even move or breathe, they can't even communicate with you because they're worried about the table and worried about their own stuff.
It's interesting because over the years, having visited Disney World on a number of occasions, I after a while you get to know, and I'm sure Comic-Con works the same way, there are better times, and even within the display areas, that there are certain areas that are easier to access than others are. But I'm curious, in terms of realistic expectations, let's say I'm going for the first time, and I'm going to be there Saturday because that's the busy day.
Okay.
What are my chances of coming out of there, forgetting about the cost or whatever, but what are my chances of coming out of there with two or three autographs of shall we say, tier one or top shelf famous people from the world of superheroes and comics?
Realistically speaking, for a Saturday, for your first time, I would say probably one or two.
That's pretty good, I would say. If you're a big fan, and you three ladies who won those tickets, I'm assuming you're big fans. That's what you then should expect. Come home with one or two, but bring cash.
Yes, bring cash. And, you know, props to the guys at the Javis Center, props to the New York Comic Con. They run a pretty good tight ship. There's still some problems because they're still learning and working it out. But that's true of all conventions. There's always some last-minute changes. But usually they have a setup where, you know, autograph is in one section, combo guys are in another section, dealers are in another section, panels are in another section. So if you're in one area, you kind of be able to run into something that you're interested in. The video games are in another area. Oh, that's another thing. For video games, usually they have, like, contests or stuff. If you go really early, you can sign up for stuff and then come back later and you don't have to wait on the line anymore to get to participate in either trying out the games, being part of the contest. And I know they always have a costume contest. So if you're going to wear a costume, make sure it's really good. You go to a costume, then you can win like some prizes and stuff.
I guess it, from what I'm hearing, the bottom line is primary step number one, top of the list, whatever you want to call it, go there, have fun.
Yes.
And be safe, but enjoy the experience. That's really what it comes down to. And bring a bunch of friends. That's not an advertisement necessarily, because any kind of event like this is much more fun when you go with other people, I would think. Although there are people, I'm sure, enjoy the experience because they don't want to have to drag somebody else around. I'm going here, you're going there. Good, we'll meet up somewhere later. And that's always a possibility.
Yeah, friends is always a good thing to have. And that actually makes things better, because I remember I went to a convention, the Icon in Stony Brook. I think it was a Star Trek actor was on there, as well as somebody from Doctor Who. And a friend of mine was a big Doctor Who fan, and I was a Star Trek fan, and so we went to see the panels that they were on, but the signings were at the opposite times. So if we went to see the panel, we couldn't get the autographs. So he went to get the autograph for me, and I went to get the autograph for him, and it worked out great.
That's great. Yeah, a little coordination, I guess, helps.
So. Yeah. And also, personalization, that's another big deal. A lot of celebrities and higher tier people don't personalize autographs unless you shell out the big money for it. Only one person I can think of top of my head, which is George Takei. He played Sulu on Star Trek. He actually gave out personalizations for free, to whoever. Thanks a lot. And that was a very nice thing to do, because you think, you have to figure out they're here for a certain amount of time. They want to get as many people as possible. You sign a name, thank you, take a picture, shake a hand. Next person, give me $20. But it was free. And he was happy enough, he actually, just a couple of words, and he signed stuff, and he moved along, and he actually personalized it. So it actually made it me appreciate him more than anything. And, there was this one guy, he was on Deep Space Nine, Alexander L. Sadil, and he was very just an entertaining person as a panel. And because he was so entertaining, it actually made me want to buy a picture from him and get his autograph. But beforehand, I was like, I'm just going to see this guy. And so panels are fun to do. And you never know what's going to happen at a panel, because, you get audience questions, and you get questions ranging from the ridiculous to, well-thought-out questions. That's another thing. Make sure if you're going to have something to say, when you walk up to them, make sure it's all planned in your mind. Try not to get starstruck.
Don't trip on your own tongue.
And try to be different. Every single person is going to ask somebody the same question over and over and over and over again. And you're just going to be one of the masses. If you're going to meet a celebrity, you want to ask about something maybe from early on in his career, or a good question to always ask us anybody. What are you doing now? What's coming up? They're always happy to talk about themselves.
One of the things to consider, especially if they're getting on in years a bit, like you mentioned about Leonard Nimoy earlier, make the question somewhat specific so that it's something that they would, oh my God, nobody's asked me about that in years. But at the same time, don't make it too specific and catch them off guard that they have no answer because they can't remember. Unfortunately, it's a sign of age, and you don't want to put them in an embarrassing situation if they're a little uptight.
Also, don't put them on the spot by asking, in episode 5 and scene 3, and you said this line, what did you mean by that? Don't do that. Don't embarrass yourself like that.
If I was put in that situation, I'd probably say, I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and look at the script. I'll see you next year. I'll have your answer. Come on back to the Comic-Con. But, autographs and celebrities are kind of funny situation. I know that I a few years ago at a local museum here in Long Island had the interesting pleasure of buying a book by Buzz Aldrin, who was kind of a hero of many of my generation, and it was a very disappointing experience. And I know this man has been through a really rough time since coming back from space. But in brief, there we were standing in line. A buddy of mine dragged me down. We both bought the books. We're both going to get him autographed, and when I got up to the front table, I was about to say something to him, and I had a really, I thought, interesting question. I honestly don't remember what it is at this point. It's not important. He didn't even look at me. He was talking to somebody else to the opposite side while he signed my book. And if you looked at the signature, and I still have it, because it's a signature that will tell me, don't do this again unless you really know the person's going to be talking to you about it. But no, in most cases, they are much more gracious than that, and are excited that you're there. But again, it's a business like any other. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there are going to be tons of wrestlers there, and, you know, don't ask me if wrestling fake. And there's some of them that are hustling. There's, you know, he's notorious for doing it, and if you're a fan of comic book and wrestling fan, you know out there there's an actor, a wrestler called Virgil. He's worked with the Million Dollar Man, and he's shameless. He's always trying to, you know, sell his stuff, because that's just what he got to do. You know, you come in, sometimes you come in as a guest, and they pay for a hotel, they sell. Sometimes they just let you come in and have a space. You know, and you got to sell your wares, because that's your money for the day. That's how it is.
And I guess it depends on you as the consumer. If someone, as Mark used the word, shameless, is just shamelessly selling merchandise, if that turns you off, don't buy from that person, because 10 years from now, when you show this thing to somebody else, they'll be excited possibly by the signature or the object, but you may still have those not-so-pleasant memories of that. The other side of it is that if it's something you really want, in spite of the person and the methods that they use to hawk it, buy it and enjoy it.
Yeah, there was, speaking of Virgil, I went to a convention and my nephew was with me, and we were just walking by, and he was there, and he was calling out to my nephew. And so he went over there, and I had to go follow him, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to sell you some stuff, you know, blah, 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 blah." And he turns to my nephew, turns to me, and he's like, "You know, can I get something?" And I think it was, he was trying to sell it for $20, a picture, for $20 autograph. And I didn't have $20 on me, because I had planned to buy something else. And I was like, "Well, I only have a 10 on me." And he was like, "Oh, I'll sell it to you for 10. And, you know, and he signed it, and he was like, "Oh, great," you know. And then we walked away, and I turned to my nephew, and I said, "Do you know who that guy was?" He goes, "No." I said, what'd you make me spend the money for? He goes, "I felt so sorry for him."
That works. It's called marketing. So, did your nephew learn his lesson?
Yes. He knows now that only go to people that he knows.
Again, I keep saying it, and I don't want to ruin anybody's sense about it, because it really, from everything I've heard and people who've been there, including Mark, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, but, you know, and again, be prepared to buy.
Yeah, you know, you're going to a place where 90% of the stuff is, their job is to sell you something.
Sure.
And you already paid money to get in. So, yes, there will be tons of freebies. There, you know, you walk through the aisles, there are people just handing out stuff, you know, because they want you to come to their table, or they want an artist who was just standing right next to the guy's table. We were just walking by, and he was a famous artist. He was the guy that created Hellboy. I don't know if you heard about the Hellboy mm-hmm. movies. He was the creator of Hellboy, and I had no idea he was there. We were just walking by, and this girl was like, "Oh, you know, you want a free autograph? Here's a book." The guy's right there. And I was like, "Oh, sure, you know, he was right there."
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things. And on the flip side, there was this actor. The younger folks won't know him, but you might remember him as the Uncola guy when he used to sell the Uncola.
There's the cola and there's the Uncola.
Yeah.
Beautiful Caribbean voice.
The only thing I can remember that he was in Conan, the original Conan movie. He played, I think he was a villain. And he also was...
Jeffrey Holder? Is that the name?
I think that's his name. And he was in a James Bond movie. He was the villain. And we were at this convention, and he was just sitting there. You know, we were walking by. A friend of mine knew some other guys. So we were talking to these comic book guys. And he was sitting right next to him, just sitting by himself. No advertising. He's just sitting all lonely and sad. And my friend, he recognizes him. He's like, "Oh, my God, I know you. You were in..." He was like, "You were in Boomerang." It was an Eddie Murphy comedy at the time. It was a big comedy. He's like, "You were in Boomerang." And he was thinking, "Can I take a picture of you?" Because I know, you know, some of the celebrities, they charge if you take a picture with them, but of them, it's usually a little, you know, gray area. Mm-hmm. And you can see this man, who was just like an older man, just sitting there, and you see that the thought process, like, should I charge him for a picture? Should I not charge him for a picture? And he's just sitting there thinking and thinking and thinking. And my friend's like all excited, and you're like, "All right, you can take a picture of me." And it's just a crazy thing that happens. And that's a memory that will stay with my friend for years.
It's interesting how celebrity is the major attraction, I think, for many people coming to the convention. A little side story related to a show that I did here a while ago about superheroes on Broadway. My wife, who is very knowledgeable when it comes to Broadway theater, you'll walk around the Broadway Theater District and you'll identify certain actors who you see coming out at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night if they take the makeup off and so on. She'll know by name, you know, the assistant tech person.
Right.
Whatever. She knows, basically, she's one of those people in the movie theaters who stays to read all the credits.
Right.
And look for people that she knows and recognizes. And it's the same thing at this kind of convention. There are some people who go there who may stay away from the celebrities because they're more concerned and interested in, shall we say, the lesser celebrity, the people, the writers, which I think, unless you know what they look like, which normally you don't, it's another level, shall we say, or shade of the convention.
We got time? All right. I'm just making sure we have the extra time. I don't want to run over. Once again, at least the site here, know who you're looking for. In the old days, you really didn't have information on what the comic book artists or what the writers actually look like, so you just had a guess, hopefully, they're there. And some better conventions, they have name tags. You can actually read who this person is, so you can know. But on the website, you can always check out who's there and what do they look like, so you have an idea of where you're going
in.
And you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know what any of these people looked like, and I felt bad at the time. And it was this one artist, his name was Brian Steelfreeze, and he was a great artist. And, you know, it was just a bunch of artists in the DC table. I went up there, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm looking for Brian Steelfreeze. And it was a black guy, and he was like, I'm Brian Steelfreeze. And my thought was, oh, my God, you're a black guy. Like, like, don't say that, but it was just the thought. Like, it never occurred to me that it wouldn't be anything but a white guy. And there are many minorities out there in the art industry, and you'd always be surprised. Oh,
absolutely.
That's what he looks like. It was like a cartoon voice. Like, oh, that's what he looks like. That's what that guy looks. That's what they, you know, they don't sound like what they look like. And it's just really, it's a fun thing to do. Despite everything, if you go in there with a positive attitude, know that you're going to be what you're prepared for, what we're trying to help you out. Bring food, wear comfortable shoes, because you're going to be walking a lot. And, you know, enjoy it. You know, look at the cameras or one thing, disposable cameras, take pictures of that. And if you're going to be in a costume and if you are a female, I'm sorry, but every other person is going to ask to take your picture. That's just what's going to happen. So expect to be a lot of flashes in your face. You know, that's just what's going to happen.
One afterthought, if I may, as I know from many times of going to places similar to this, or just any place you're going to buy something that may be a one-shot deal, you're traveling to another country, another part of this country, there's something you absolutely want to buy at the convention, and you debate about it, you don't have enough money, and maybe it's kind of silly, but you really want it, buy it. Okay. Don't regret it. Buy it.
So that's pretty much it. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. That about does it for this week on the Comic Book Knowledge. Wow, that's a flashback. On the KFN Radio. Join us next week right here on WGBB. We'll have a special guest. If you missed any part of the show, you can go online to www.kfnradio.com and listen to our archives. It should be up in a week or so. And join us on our Facebook page. And I guess we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.